Roberts. Big Ben. I'm married to the Huntress.
All right. Merry Christmas, everyone. Welcome to the Modern Christian Dudes podcast. My name is Jeremiah Johnson alongside Funko Pro Greg Walden. And we have a girl in the house, Zoe Johnson. So here we go. The Christmas special, the last big one of the year, guys. This is it because I'm going on vacation to South Carolina. So
nice.
So we're going to have to do the best we can here today and try to crush it, okay? So here we go. Yeah, where do we, you know, Greg Walden, I want to just go back to this song for just a second. The Funko Pop Greg Walden song.
For just a second.
Okay. I forgot about this.
It's all about the chase.
And you had to remember now.
Because when you find the one, there's always one more.
Listen to the production on this.
Funko Pop. Funko Pop.
This is you. This is a cruising song. Yeah. Just cruising down the road on the way to Vintage Stock.
No, that's my wife took that song now. Just hers. Funko Pop.
Funko Pop. Listen, I had to overdub multiple vocal lines on the song. Original lyrics. Amazon. Vintage Stock. It goes on and on.
Hey, Michelle. I tried to ring that bell. Dang. I really tried to stop.
Funko
actually,
Pop.
That's actually pretty good, though. I mean, I'd say the production is pretty good on that one.
There we go. Funko
you like
Pro.
Be a professional pastor mixer or something.
Yeah, yeah, amen. I have recorded four albums of my own in the past. It was Another Life, but not the songwriter I used to be. Anyway, Funko Pro Greg Walden, Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
And, you know, I decided before the show started, I'm not going to give you a hard time about giving me a Christmas present that didn't work. I decided I'm not going to do that.
I feel bad. I was like the thing is, I actually hooked it up and it turned on because I didn't have any controllers or games to test it with. So I was like, hey, turned on. Good. Awesome. And then, yeah, I was like, daggone it.
Still so thoughtful.
Yeah. Very I was thoughtful. Like, I sat down there with that good old, you know, Madden 2009 didn't work. And I was like,
man,
did you try the NBA?
What are we talking about? Come on, man. Come on, man. How many push-ups you want to do here, pal? Oh, come on, man.
So anyway, I understood. I could relate there with Joe Biden on that moment. Come on, man. I want to play the PS2.
Did you try the basketball one?
Yes, it didn't work either.
Oh, quirky.
So anyway, well, let's kick the show. Let's move on to happier thoughts. So we don't normally do taste tests. It's kind of a Kelly Stevens things, but I got here some Warheads.
Yeah.
Sour soda. I got the watermelon. You got the blue raspberries. Zoe's got the peach. Okay. And figured that might get a lively show here today if we have the Warheads sour soda. We'll see what happens today. So right. Zoe, thank you for joining us on the Modern Christian Dudes podcast. Yeah. Last show of the year.
Glad to be here.
So Pastor's going to try his first.
Yeah, it's not that nasty, really. It's
let's see. Oh my!
Warheads sour watermelon.
Oh, that'll pucker you up right there.
Yeah. It's not as sour as I thought, though. It is sour.
This one's sour.
Okay, this one's not too horribly sour.
Oh, this one's not too bad.
That one. Mm. Ooh, Lord.
I don't know.
That make your eyes go like shrinking back of your head.
Probably not going to drink the rest of the can, but
nah, that's just way too tart for me.
Warheads sour soda. I think it probably is not a big winner because you can buy it. I bought that at the grocery store, but I've seen it at Dollar Tree, so that probably means probably not the most popular soda in the world.
Well, actually, after the first impact and it, you know, numbs your taste buds, actually the second sip wasn't too bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All righty. Well, we are Dudes Talking News, Sports, and God, so that's what we're going to rip through today on this Christmas special. We will talk a little Christmas, but here we go. Let me kick it off with a good old Jeff Bezos story. You know, we understand that we love the Elon Musk, but we do believe two of the weirdest people on the planet are Jeff Bezos and what's his name? Mark Zuckerberg. So check this out. Jeff Bezos is building a 10,000-year clock inside a mountain. This is from popularmechanics.com. So their engineers and contractors are building a massive multi-room clock inside a mountain in West Texas, a clock that will tell time for the next 10,000 years. And despite an informal website with a whiff of Blogspot template, this is a Jeff Bezos project. There are a lot of surprises in the story of the clock of the long now. It's the brainchild of Danny Hills, a computer scientist and entrepreneur who first imagined the 10,000-year clock in 1986. Now he's visiting a professor at MIT Media Lab with a reputation for building supercomputers, autonomous dinosaur robots, and Disney theme park rides. He's exactly the kind of guy who decides he wants to build a huge eon clock in a mountain. How does the clock work? Well, the longness of the time involved is the biggest engineering challenge. The clock is designed to tick just once a year and chime once per millennium. Experts are blasting rooms out of the interior of a mountain in order to install steampunky piles of gears and flywheels, according to Bezos, the Amazon founder and richest man on the planet, although I think he's like second or third. The clock will be 500 feet tall. So I don't know what to think about this outside.
Why?
Of, what? Like that's Jeff Bezos, question. You're weird, man. Well, is this just too much money or what's happening right now? Go ahead.
Funko Broker.
I was watching a podcast yesterday that, and somebody was actually thinking that if your salary is actually above $75,000, then anything over that's kind of fluff.
That was my sermon yesterday. You were in church yesterday. Yeah.
Okay.
I don't have that dialed up.
Sorry, I can't remember.
Yeah, I need and I should have pulled up that article, but it is true. I found an article that said, because it's talking about happiness, and I touched a little bit on that yesterday in my sermon, and it said happiness, basically up to $75,000. Once you're $75,000 or more, your happiness doesn't really vary based on the amount of income that you have.
Sorry, but I can't remember.
Yeah, no, that's
my memory is horrible.
75. I appreciate that you remembered it, but 75,000 are basically saying below that you're struggling, you don't have any money. So yes, happiness is an issue, but once you get to 75K, it's like happiness is just relevant at that point.
Right.
So interesting, but Jeff Bezos clearly, he's searching for happiness or something. Long life, eternal life is what he's searching for, but he needs Jesus for that. So
yeah, money. I'm telling you, money. Yeah, as you get older, like. I mean, you know, in your teens, 20s, obviously, everybody, you know, like, hey, I got, you know, I want this new job, has 40,000. Yeah. And then, but as you get to my age, like, you know, you just like learn to be content with, you know, especially with the spiritual maturity. Well, you see somewhat some of him, you know, so, but anyway, yeah. You learn to be content with what God's blessed you with, and you don't really, you know, have to have all the other fluffy stuff.
Zoe, thoughts on Jeff Bezos?
Yeah.
The 10,000 millennial clock.
I'm wondering what this looks like how this is all going to flush out, and also what mountain are they destroying
in West Texas? I didn't know there was mountains in West Texas.
Yeah,
well, I guess there would be. Yeah, okay. I'm sorry, West Texas.
Yeah, by El Paso.
Okay. Yeah. Sounds like a waste of time and money, but I can see why a lot of intelligent nerds would like to pursue this.
Awesome. Well, that's my one story there that Jeff Bezos, he continues to weird me out over and over again. So let's move on to some sports here. NFL is alive and well. We're moving into the finality of the season. Funko Pro Greg Walden. Any hot takes coming out of the NFL weekend for you?
Well, there's a couple of good ones.
Yes, we're in the Chiefs fans.
The first big NFL story was the Chargers getting whipped
by that the was Raiders. Interesting. Yeah.
In fact, the Chargers were getting whipped so bad, San Diego actually fired their coach at halftime. They didn't even wait till the game was over. They were like, halftime, you're gone.
Oh, did they do that?
Yeah, they fired him at halftime.
I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah,
that was awesome.
Poor guy. He's like, the Raiders was like, oh, goodness, that's a bad day right there.
63-21.
Yeah.
That's a spanking.
Yeah, that's a bad day.
Especially by the Raiders.
And then we was watching the Chiefs game. When we actually – my wife wanted to go see Bucky's, so after church, I took her to Bucky's.
Oh, you went to Bucky's again.
Yeah. She wanted to see Bucky's, so I took her to Bucky's. And it was still packed like crazy. You couldn't hardly find a park. But we was listening to the Chiefs game on the way up there. And, you know, the Chiefs did win, but Mahomes got intercepted twice, and Tony screwed up again.
I think it'd be fair to say that this is not going to be a Super Bowl year for those Kansas City Chiefs. But, yeah, interesting. I think some other scores that stood out just a little bit. The Broncos were starting to make a run. They get squashed by the Lions, so they're probably going to, you know, maybe be in it or out of it. Bears get beat again, so they go revert back to themselves. The Dolphins, 30-0 versus the Jets. Obviously, the Jets were hoping to have Aaron Rodgers. That's not going to happen. The Dolphins are probably – I'm gonna put the Dolphins over the Chiefs at this point.
I'm putting half the AFC over the Chiefs right now.
Yeah. Chiefs beat the Patriots, and we talked about Bill Belichick. Maybe the franchise is going to move on from him. After we did that emergency podcast, I did do some further research. A lot of people are saying that's not true. It's not determined yet, but I think it is time to move on from Bill Belichick.
Well, see, the Chiefs, was interesting. The Chiefs, I mean, obviously the Patriots at the, you know, is not, they're probably one of the bottom teams of the NFL this year. If not the bottom team, if one of the bottom teams, they're like, they're right,
The Patriots?
Yeah.
Yeah, 3-11. So they're
so two of their scores that the Patriots got came off of Mahomes turnovers, interceptions.
Yep. And I would just say the other kind of games of the week, 49ers crushed the Cardinals. So 49ers were my pick to win the Super Bowl, and they're looking dominant. And then the ultimate posers, the posers of all posers, the Dallas Cowboys.
Got beat.
They get crushed 31-10 by the Bills. And the Ravens, they're looking like the solidified AFC favorite next to the Dolphins, maybe the Chiefs.
Yeah, I'm going to think it's going to be between the Dolphins or the
Ravens. Yeah.
You know, I think the Chiefs will make the playoffs. I think they're going to take the AFC West, unless they really have a bad meltdown. I mean, if they play like they're playing now, they'll probably squeak the AFC West. But I think they're going to be the one and done after the first round of playoffs.
Yeah. My final pick was Niners versus the Chiefs in the Super Bowl, with the Niners getting the dub and the chip. But it looks like the Chiefs, I don't think, are going to quite make it there. Zoe, what's going on in the world of college where you're at? Is there lots of NFL talk in the cafeteria, on the campus?
Not really, actually. Don't talk about football that often. But I do like to have the stats just in my back pocket in case it comes down to conversation with some dudes at the calf, then I have something to talk about. Everything I know is really from my brother, who tells me the sports. Every time I talk to him, he lets me know how my team's doing, how his team's doing, what he thinks is going to happen. And so that's good, staying updated with the current sports. So, yeah.
Yeah, the boys know the sports, I tell you.
A little too well, but
Ezekiah's deep. He's deep, man. He's deep in it, so I love it. My wife probably doesn't love it as much. So, anyway, what you got over there, Funko Pro Greg? You got any good news? You don't have to, but
I don't have any.
Okay, let's talk to Zoe. Let's pick Zoe's brain here. She's a college student, a third-year college student now.
Starting my third year.
Well, okay. So it's interesting when I'm reading the news, we're dudes talking news, sports, and God. So as I'm going through all this stuff, and I'm a big podcast junkie. So a couple of podcasts I listen to, one is Megyn Kelly and all this drama that's happening in our world. I'm interested in like what young people. So one of the big things that's going on right now is Israel, Hamas, warring, those kind of things. And then I know you're in more of a conservative Christian campus, but they're talking about all these campuses raging, promoting Hamas, Palestine and those kind of things. And there's all this anti-Semitism, things along that nature. What's going on in your particular campus, and what's the vibe in young people, and what's happening in the world today? Specifically more with the Israel thing. Is there any talk, conversation?
Yeah, so there's a lot of talk around it, but considering we're in Branson, Missouri, it's very conservative. There's not a lot of Team Hamas people whatsoever. And honestly, if you said anything about that, you would probably get kicked out for rooting for the Hamas. But
do a lot of your friends talk politics, whether it be Israel, Joe Biden, Donald Trump? Is there much political talk in your sphere of college?
Not a lot. There's really not a lot of time outside of study and work for those kinds of conversations, but they do come up. And I'd say the overall narrative in probably this area of the country, and definitely at my school, is, Israel, people pray for Israel, people really going for that because that's God's people.
How about Vivek? He's like Vivek Swamy. Is it Swamy? I forget his last name. He says, I've been on hundreds of campuses. Has Vivek been on the campus of College of the Ozarks yet?
No, probably not.
He's supposed to be the hot college candidate that all the college students are like, yeah, Vivek.
No, he has not been on our campus. And if he were, we would probably know about it.
That's true. So anyway, what else? What's the conversation? I want to know, what's the hot topics of college students today? Like, what do they talk about? Like, the super top five. I'm rolling through the cafeteria. I'm hanging out with college students. I hear them talking about what?
You hear them talking about, it really depends. I mean, obviously, there are different groups on campus that'll talk about different things. A lot of recent TikTok trends, people talk about that. Personally, not into that, but you'll hear recent TikTok trends, the recent dance moves. You'll hear the recent sport stats, here and there. But a lot of our campus, just being the way it is, there's a lot of talk just about campus events because we have a lot of campus events. We got a lot of juicy campus tea. And so that's what you'll hear a lot at the cafeteria. Also recent like pastors, you know, we have a lot of theology talk at our cafeteria, but we'll also talk about the recent terrible sermons that we've heard, like from heresy. Oh. Yeah. So a lot of, talking about the worst sermons we've ever heard.
Those gospers gossiping about the poor pastors again.
So terrible. I try not to partake in those conversations, but that's what you would hear. Yeah. At least at our school, but I'd say we're kind of different than most campuses for sure.
Yeah. I'm just always interested because you get the media projecting, you know, in my mind, when I'm listening to these podcasts, I'm like, every college campus is like having massive protests and like burning down buildings. I'm exaggerating a little bit, but that's what I feel like I hear half the time projecting from the news, and like all these young people are, you know, again, anti-Semitic, etc.
Probably getting like the big secular campuses. Yeah, getting the big stories. The big secular campuses like Yale, Harvard, and all that stuff. And then obviously your state universities are, you know, where everybody knows where they're pretty much at. I mean, I went to DeVry, back in the early 2000s. And, you know, it was kind of mixed. You had some professors, at least, this is about 20-something years ago. But you had some professors that were kind of conservative. You had some that were, like, way far left. I've had a couple debates with a couple of those. And you had some that was kind of, they didn't really bring it up.
Yeah.
So it was kind of an interesting experience.
I imagine, I went to a Christian college, the Assemblies of God school. And so I got to imagine it is a challenge, though, if you're a student, college student, going to one of these secular universities that are pitching all of this secular garbage upon you. And you'd have to fight it, man, for sure. It'd be tough to be a follower of Christ and stand.
Well, there's, like I try telling my, I told my daughter, it's like, and this is my opinion about college. I mean, it still comes down to the parents. I mean, like the Bible says, train up a child in the way they go, they want, and when they get older, they won't depart from it. I mean, as parents, it's our job to prepare our children to not really bubble them up per se, but to prepare them to go into the world, because they're going to go to the sharks. One day they're going out to the sharks. And if you don't prepare them to when they go out to the sharks, they're going to get gobbled up. And so is preparing them to actually stand when the sharks come around.
Mm-hmm.
And not to be, bubble themselves up from it. Don't be able to stand, say, hey, this is, I believe in the Bible. You can line up 100 liberal professors who hate Jesus. And you know what? At the end of the day, I'm still believing in Jesus. This is the way it is.
Your hardest moment as a Christian thus far, Zoe? Do you have one that you can share openly?
There's not one that really comes to mind per se. I mean, when you go to college, you're out in the world on your own. There are a lot of things that you have to figure out what you believe on. Like, you could say, this is what my parents believe, but then you realize, oh, wait, can I defend this for myself? Can I tell you the reasons why I believe that? Or is the only reason I believe it because that's how I was raised? I'd say that's one thing that, like, everyone battles when they, go into the world out on their own. I wouldn't say that's the hardest thing, but I would say that's maybe the most prominent thing that most college students deal with.
Zoe's is kind of like Greg Walden, probably like, hey, do you want to go to the Ball Knobbers? I don't know. We should. It's really crazy. Okay. Something like that, or like, let's go to the fudge shop and indulge super overeat or something like that. I don't know.
That's an interesting, but Zoe did.
I don't think you can get too sinful in Branson, Missouri, I guess.
No, it's more like, let's go off campus and wear ripped jeans, because you can't wear ripped jeans on campus. So if you want to be a real rebel, you wear ripped jeans and you go off campus.
Wow.
Yeah.
But Zoe brought up a good point, though. She actually brought up a really good point. It's like, is why do I believe?
Mm-hmm.
You brought up your parents believing, but in the end is, why do you believe? I mean, why do you believe in Jesus? You can't really ride your parents' coattails.
Yeah.
You got to find, why do I believe? That's a good point, Zoe.
Yeah, I love, I wish I could find it. A friend of mine who passed away, Ron Alk, he always preaches, like one of his messages was on Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he would walk through that a little bit, how Abraham was he was kind of like a first generation Christian, if you will, that he had real dynamic encounter with God. He was marked by that. And then you go Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then when you get to Jacob, basically he's kind of fallen away, or, he's lived under the blessing and has never had real encounter or experience for himself, blah, blah, blah. Kind of the moral of the story, the presentation of the sermon is kind of like saying, like, every generation has to keep experiencing God. Otherwise, it just becomes your father's religion. You're just existing in a form of religion rather than in, like, this own encounter that you should have. And so that's what I believe in, you know, that you, that, you know, if even my kids is like, well, what's the difference between being a Sons of God, Catholic, Presbyterian? You know, you're just in a form of religion, but that's not really the goal, right? The goal is to have a legitimate encounter and relationship with the Lord that carries you day by day by day. And that's what I believe everyone should have. So,
amen.
And that's what I want for my kids. That's why I want to have everyone who comes to our church. Like, even I pastor in a Sons of God church, but my goal isn't for people to come and be like, you know, I want you to, you need, I'm not trying to convert you to Assembly of God-ism. I'm trying to convert you to a radical encounter and a real relationship with Jesus Christ that will carry you for the rest of your life.
Amen. Like the Bible says, you know, they'll know you by, they'll know by the word of your testimony and by the, you know, word of God in the word of your testimony. So it's like, you teach them the gospel, but you also say this, you know, this is what Jesus has done. We give them what the Bible, the gospel, as the Bible describes it. But we also, this is how I experience, this is, you know, I know Jesus is real because I experienced him, you know, moving in my life in this area. He delivered me from addictions I could not get rid of through my own power. He's been there through the hardest times of my life. I mean, just he's made himself real so many times that I can't even count. So you got your own testimony, and also there's two ways you reach the others. You say, hey, this God, you know, Jesus has done so much in my life. That, you know, I mean, I'm not believing him just because I, you know, my mom told me about him. I'm believing because he, I actually seen him work in my life.
Yep.
As well as I believe what's in the Bible as well.
Amen. Speaking of real relationships, good segue there. I've been reading this one. So this one has kind of asked me a little bit, and there's this story coming out of churchleaders.com, but I've seen her on some of the other like entertainment based stuff. I'll read part of this article, but tattoo artist Kate Von D, do you guys know who this is? I don't really know. She was married to, reality star back in the day. But anyway, if you see her, dude, she's like tatted out. She's like very pretty, but she's like super tatted out. I mean, you can see the picture, but who was recently baptized after returning to the Christian faith, revealed that she and her family are currently living in an Indiana parsonage. During the pandemic, Von D left California seeking a town in the middle of nowhere. She and her family ended up in Vevey, Indiana, a town of 1,700 people near the Kentucky border. Because of the 1874 mansion they purchased needs extensive renovations, Von D's pastor is letting them stay in the unused parsonage. Von D talked about her new community and church on a recent episode of comedian Theo Von's podcast. The tattoo artist and TV star, whose parents were Seventh-day Adventist missionaries in Mexico, shared details of her upbringing. She also discussed her sobriety, facing criticism from other Christians, and homeschooling her son. Kate Von D, 41, is a member of Switzerland Baptist Church, where she attends Bible studies and relishes the church, small church environment. When the people are absent, they're missed, she said, adding that she genuinely misses her church family when she travels back to Los Angeles for work. I've never really had that before, she said, noting that she's estranged from several family members. Article goes on and on, but it's kind of interesting, you know, when someone who's like super popular, but she's, you know, again, I don't know, you guys can't quite see it from here, but I mean, she's this tattooed up lady, and she's super popular, has, you know, a very large influence in that realm, that spectrum of things. And she just went on to talk a lot about how just the criticism and judgment that she's specifically got from Christians, you know, and she's trying to have a real relationship and live out her faith with the Lord. And so I'm always interesting to have the conversation. How do we handle this? You know, not just as a pastor, but the community of faith, you know, when we have people that celebrities are come out of, you know, really rough lifestyles. This is a, you know, this is a big thing for the church, how we handle and navigate this, because we can help these people, this person that, you know, the sinner, which all of which we all were, to really step into that real relationship Jesus wants to have for them. Or, you know, I feel bad for her when I read this article, and I've read some of the other ones where she's really faced criticism because, you know, she's all tatted out. She's fully tatted out. And, you know, people, Christians, you know, again, saying you're demonic, you're witchcraft, and I just don't think like that's the way we need to be, you know, as followers of Christ. We need to obviously have grace and mercy. We need to welcome people in. And the word I was thinking of as I was thinking about her life was like, you know, the goal is, what is the goal? The goal is go into all the world and preach the gospel and make disciples. Our goal is to disciple these people. You know, our goal is to like walk with them and help them you know, learn how to follow Jesus each and every day. So, you know, she's just one of several, you know, celebrities throughout, you know, the years in the past that are, have made a commitment to Jesus Christ. Some have stuck with it. Some have failed. So I think it's an interesting kind of thing to navigate as those of us that are followers of Christ when we see people like this come to Jesus.
Well, I've learned in the 30-something years I've been a Christian that Christians can actually, I mean, this may sound kind of wild, but Christians can actually repulse people to hell more than sinners can.
Ooh.
I mean, it's the truth. I've seen it.
Yeah.
You get, I mean, here's the thing. Obviously, you know, not everybody says they're a Christian as a Christian. I mean, but there are people who you got the snooty Christians, like the, you know, I'm holier than thou. And, you know, if you're not blemish free, then you can't be a Christian. Sorry, you're not like me. You know, I mean, do we expect a sinner to come in all squeaky clean? I mean, we got sinners coming from prison. I mean, how many people in prison now are tatted up?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're tatted. They probably drug. You know, like, I mean, they're not going to. A sinner's not going to come to Christ clean. They're coming dirty. They'll be dirty before they meet Jesus. Jesus is the one that cleans them up. We don't clean them up. Jesus cleans them up. We lead them to Jesus to save. We lead them. We to tell them the gospel, and then they respond to it, get saved, and Jesus does the cleaning.
Yeah.
And sometimes, a lot of times, it's not going to be cleaning like one spot. I mean, they'll get saved. And then God's got to work with them over a period of a couple of years, whatever, to clean them up. There's still areas of my life God's dealing with me, and I've been saved 30 years.
Yeah.
I mean, right. But I can tell there's a lot, I'm a lot cleaner now than I was 30 years ago. But there's areas of my, that God had to deal with me, clean me up, deal with me in the area, and then he cleaned me in a different area. It's called sanctification.
Yeah.
Read the Bible. It's called sanctification. You're from the time you get saved to the time Jesus calls you home to glory. That whole time is sanctification. God's sanctifying you, working with you to make you more like Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
That's so to have the attitude like, well, you've got all these tattoos, you know, you're a demon. I don't know this person, but like say, you know, they had tattoos. In their sinner life, they got tattooed up, right? They met Jesus. Well, they still tattooed up, right? I mean, Jesus isn't going to magically take all the tattoos away from off their body. They still got the tattoos on them.
Mm-hmm.
But again, the issue is the heart, not your skin. It's the heart. What is a person's heart like? Did Jesus come and transform that person's heart and change their life? The dead, you know, like I said, the salvation is the death. The Bible says the old man passes away. You become a new creation. So God recreates you from the inside, and then he sanctifies you till the time he calls you home to glory.
Yeah.
And so the Christians, like our attitude should be, you know, somebody comes in church with tattoos, you love them just like anybody else. You know, we're supposed to love, you know, supposed to love them. I mean, not say we have to agree with their sin that they're doing when they come into the church. We don't have to agree with their sin, mm-hmm. but we can love them as a person. Show them the love that Christ would show them. And then that's, you know, that's hopefully what helps lead them to Jesus.
Yeah. Zoe, what do you think about that? People like Kate Von D. I was going to bring up, what's the one dude that wrote? I forget it. Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah. So I would say that sometimes we want people come to the church and we want them to change all of the outward things, right? But that's not what it's about at all. And there's nothing that we can say or do or force them on the outside that's going to bring them to Jesus. God is the one that is drawing them to himself. God is the one that is stirring in their hearts. And we should rejoice that God is drawing people to him.
Yeah.
And right, walk along with them and disciple them. Because there's really nothing I can say that's going to change someone. God's the one that changes them. And those outward things, those come along with it eventually. But that's not my job to tell someone, oh, you have to look like this. You have to change this. And then you can finally come to Jesus. No, God is drawing their hearts. And it's our job to teach them the word, to disciple them, to show them how to walk in the truth. And the rest of those things will come in line as they draw closer to Jesus through the process of sanctification.
Yep. And Jesus, well, I was thinking of, Lil Nas X. So Lil Nas X, he's the one who did the Satan shoes. He did Old Town Road. I'm going to take my horse through that old town road. You guys know it. Come on. Anyway, it's a popular tune. But anyway, he just recently posted, I'm now entering my Christian era. He's another one that a lot of people are judging. Like, is he really legit or not? I don't know. Those kind of things. But, you know, I would say, number one, Jesus is awesome and he feels awesome and it's an amazing experience. And I don't want to liken Jesus to a drug, but what I'm saying is that people that are, you know, in various lifestyles of like pursuing like a feeling and an experience, Jesus is an experience and a feeling, right? I mean, absolutely. I mean, as someone who's probably an experiential type of person, I mean, dude, I run back all the time to my testimony and be like, dude, when I got saved, it was such an experience. It was an encounter. But then, you know, I think Kate Von D, people that we're sitting down with that want to follow Jesus, the place I've moved into is when I talk to them to say, hey, this is not just about a moment or a prayer. This is now about a new way of living. You know, this is about being a follower of Jesus Christ. And so it's not just about today. You feel good today, but this is about a month from now, a year from now. This is about 10 years from now. When you decide to follow Jesus, this is not just a phase. This is not a trend. This is not like, well, you know, I did that for this period of time in my life when I needed it. Becoming a follower of Christ is, you know, everything. And it's now your entire life. So I'd sit down with her and just, you know, just be like, man, I just want to encourage you to just keep growing and to keep following. Because guess what? If you're going, if you're running to LA, I imagine you're going to encounter people that are anti-God, you know, in some of your spheres of influence, probably in the realm of tattoo industry. I'm sure there's going to be people that may or may not want anything to do with Jesus, but you're going to have to wake up every day and make that decision to follow Jesus over and over again and grow in your faith with the Lord and see God progress in your life. And it's going to be a beautiful and awesome thing.
Right. Like you said, salvation is a decision. It's not a feeling because we can't base anything off of feelings. Those feelings change. One day we're feeling great. One day we're feeling bad. I mean, salvation is more than just a feeling. It's a decision. It's a life. It's a decision. It's a life eternal decision you're making.
Yep.
And very few people make that decision. I mean, the Bible says, wide is the road that leads to destruction, many go therein, and then narrow is the road that leads to, and few that find it. So, I mean, even the Bible tells, I mean, even the Bible admits that most people ain't going to find it, ain't going to find it. I mean, it's a horrible thing to think, but that's the Bible. It says wide and narrow, few, many. And so it's a decision that you have to make. It's an eternal decision. It's like, well, I feel like doing the Christian thing today, you know. I feel like I'm going to be more popular if I do the Christian thing for a couple of years. No, it's an eternal decision. You're making a decision for the rest of eternity to surrender. I mean, obviously you get saved, but you're also the part of that salvation process is you're making Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior. You're surrendering your will. I no longer own myself. I'm a slave to Christ. I mean, that's why I'm a slave to Christ. I mean, was it Paul said that too? I'm a slave, yep. Right? You know, he considers himself a slave to Christ. And it's not a slave in a bad way like we think of slaves, you know, now, but it's a slave like I do not own myself. Jesus Christ paid a price for me. He bought me with a price. His blood, which is precious.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't even imagine the immensity of the price that Christ paid. I mean, it's you can't really, there's not words to speak.
Yeah.
If you think of the price that Christ paid to purchase you, I mean, it blows you away. It's like, I've been paid for. I don't own me. Jesus owns me.
Yeah.
It means I do what Jesus says do, and then I don't do what Jesus says don't do. That's it.
Yeah. And if you, and kind of going back to this, Kate Von D, if you've decided to follow Jesus, forget what other people think. Forget what other people think about you or judge. You know, I can't relate to her in some ways, but I can in that when I first became a Christian, I had people that doubted if I was really saved or not. I mean, some people thought I was like not legit. I literally had that experience. So I can a little bit understand or relate with being a Christian and then other people thinking that you're not or you're not real or legit. And you know what you do? You just keep following Jesus. You can't let other people's opinions of you affect your faith journey and your walk with the Lord. And there are some times that you're just going to have to walk alone in your journey of faith, Christ. You might find yourself in a position where there's a lot of other believers around you, and that's great, and that's awesome. Sometimes you might find yourself, some of you might be listening, and you have a job. Like, there's no Christians around you, right? Or there's very few people of faith. That's you. You wake up every day, and you keep following Jesus, make the decision, that choice.
Like I always say, it doesn't matter what other people think about you. The only person that matters is what does God say about you.
Yeah. Amen. And then, you know, I just say to Christians, of which I am a follower of Christ, don't forget where you came from. I mean, sorry.
What are we talking about?
Come on, man.
Come on, man. Don't forget where you came from. We're all sinners, man. So who are we to look at someone like Kate Von D or some other sinner and be like, oh, man, do you see her? Like, oh, no, there's no way she's a Christian. Like, oh, man, do you know what, like, she was doing before she became a Christian? Like, do you know what, like, the people that she hung out with? Blah, blah. Who are you? You know, who are you to say she's not a Christian, a follower of Christ? And especially for all of us as Christians, don't forget where we came from. We all came from sin.
Yep.
You know, we've all sinned, fallen short of the glory of God. Yes, it might manifest, look different physically. I mean, there's some people that might look good on the outside, but dude, I know the depths of their sin on the inside might be way worse, or in my mind, way worse than the tattoo lady, Kay Von D, or whatever it might be. So, you know, as for us as Christians, we have to not judge in one sense, you know, but we have to make sure that we don't forget we are all sinners. I do. I mean, people as a pastor, in like, even the last few years, we've had people come to our church. I'm like, geez, these people are totally jacked up. Like, what is wrong with them? It's like, oh yeah, so was I.
Well, so was you.
So was I, you know, but anyway, praise God. Final thoughts, guys. We're going to wrap it up here, this pre-Christmas episode.
Go ahead,
no.
Zoe.
Yes.
Anything, Zoe? Or?
No. God is good. I'm grateful that he saved us all. Amen.
And I'm just thankful for what Jesus done for me and done for you and done for all of us. And just, I mean, just, I mean, I just, I just thank him every day.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes things in life don't always work or work out, you know.
But like the Bible says, God's got the footsteps, my footsteps plan. He's got plans for my life, and I mean, in the end, my success is to hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." As long as I hear that, then my life is successful.
Oh, and my computer's like showing mercy ships right now. Zoe, she was on the mercy ships.
Hey. All
right. Nice. Hey guys, Merry Christmas on behalf of the Modern Christian Dudes. Zoe joining us. She didn't get too crazy today, so. And I don't think we'll drink all of our, finish our sour drinks, but Merry Christmas, you guys. We'll talk to you later.
Merry Christmas.